Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Jeremiah 17:14. Greetings, and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website can be found at www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives and devotionals. There's lots of devotionals up there. If you just go to the website, scriptureandprophecy.com, at the very top, you click devotional. And there's several devotionals there that I've written over the years if you're interested in devotionals. And that's also where you go to support this mission of truth, this mission to share God's word with as many people across the world as possible. And your support really helps me get that accomplished. And I appreciate all of you and all of your prayers. And thank you so much. Today, we are finishing our study in the book of Acts. We're ready for chapter 28. And it left off last week with Paul in a ship, and they're on their way to Rome, but the ship is shipwrecked. And so that's kind of where it picks up and kind of how it ends. So we're going to read that 31 verses, and then we'll talk a little bit about the history of Paul afterwards. What happened to Paul? Because in the book of Acts, it doesn't end with his death or anything like that yet. Traditionally in the church, we believe that he was martyred, and so we'll discuss why we believe that to be true. And so that's what's on the agenda for this morning. So without further delay and further rambling, let's just dig right in. We'll be doing as we normally do, reading from the King James Bible. I'm ready for Acts chapter 28, verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet the vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire, and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases on the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things that were necessary. And after 3 months were departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day and the south wind blew, we came next to the day to Petulia, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they examined me would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause thereof have I called for you to see you and speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, We neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. But we desire of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that. Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when we had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And that, my friends, is the end of chapter 28, and the end of our study in the book of Acts. Now, real quick, I want to talk about what Paul says here at the end, because he quotes, anytime one of the apostles or Jesus quotes prophets from the Old Testament, I find it interesting and I want to look at it. Because what I discover most of the time is that they're applying prophecy to the current time frame that they're in and saying, this is about you. And yet at the time, it was about them at that time. And that's why I say that the word is living. And there's so many examples of prophetic scriptures and stuff being for the time of when it was given, and then again later on, because the scripture is like an onion with many layers and it's always living. And so I think sometimes we make a mistake of going, well, that was about this at that time. Well, sometimes it's about now concerning this generation. And just like this, Paul, he speaks this saying, he says he's trying to preach to the Jews. They're unwilling, right? And so he says, fine, you're unwilling. I'm going to the Gentiles where it's prophesied that they will hear it. And that's been going on since the beginning of the church. And most Jews reject Jesus Christ. But the Gentiles are open and willing to embrace the Savior. Now, here's the prophecy that he's talking about. And in the King James Bible, it always says Esaias, but it's talking about Isaiah. It says, Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our father. So the first thing he's acknowledging is that it wasn't Isaiah preaching. It was the Holy Ghost in Isaiah preaching. So it's really the words of God. And here's what he says, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, that their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted. and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it." Now, interestingly enough, Jesus also quotes all that. You hear Jesus saying things like that. And a matter of fact, when you hear Jesus preach, you don't hear him begging for people to follow him or to believe. He just says, if you have ears to hear, you'll hear. But he quotes things like that. And so, I just kind of wanted to look at a few quotes from the Old Testament in regards to this. And so we have Psalms 81, verse 11 through 12, that says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, so I gave them up to their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels." Isaiah 29:10, "For the Lord had poured out upon you the spirit of a deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered." Isaiah 29:14, "Therefore, behold, I proceed to do marvelous works among this people, even a marvelous work, and I wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid." Isaiah 42:19-20, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not?" I wonder if any of these could be applied to us today if we're not careful. Jesus says in the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 17 through 18, "And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have your heart yet happened? Having eyes, ye see not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember?" In Luke chapter 24, Jesus says, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And so I just kind of want to review some of those. Deuteronomy chapter 29 says, "Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day." And we could look at examples over and over and over and over and over. I want to look at Isaiah 49, verse 6. "And he said, It is the light. It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that they mayest believe my salvation unto the end of the earth." You see, Paul knew the Old Testament. He knew the prophets, he knew the Psalms, and he knew the law of Moses, and he would quote these things that we're reading through right now to try to open up the eyes of the people, the Jewish people, and say, look, here's where it says it, you know, in the law of Moses and in the prophets, that this would be the case. But they would not believe. "The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in his eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." Well, let's move on. I want to share one more thing with you before we close here. Let's talk about what happened to Paul. Because the book of Acts doesn't tell us, you know, it just kind of ends with him being imprisoned in Rome, although he has a lot of freedom while he's imprisoned, right? He has his own quarters and is treated pretty well. So the question is what happened? And I'm going to read this little snippet from this article that I found by somebody named Sean McDowell. And I don't know anything about him other than I agree with his assessment here. And he points out kind of why we believe that Paul was actually martyred. And so that's kind of why I wanted to read this little paragraph to you. Here's what he says. He says, While scripture does not specifically mention Paul's martyrdom, there are hints in both the book of Acts and 2 Timothy that Paul knew his death was imminent. Extra-biblically, there is evidence from 1 Clement 5:5, where the writer describes Paul as suffering tremendously for his faith and then being set free from this world and transported up to the holy place, having become the greatest example of endurance. While details regarding the manner of his fate are lacking, the intimate context strongly implies that Clement was setting up Paul as an example of martyrdom. Other early evidences for the martyrdom of Paul can be found in, and he's going to list some church fathers here, Ignatius, Polycarp, Dionysius, Corinth, Irenaeus, the Acts of Paul, and Tertullian. And so, the reason, I'm going to just wrap it up with this, the reason that we believe that Paul was likely martyred is because we have writings of the church fathers. That's what it boils down to. Church fathers saying that he was, in fact, martyred. How he was martyred, that's up for debate. Many people believe that he was beheaded in Rome. But the consensus is that he was definitely martyred, according to the church fathers. Now, I want to say maybe it was Chuck Missler that I saw years and years ago theorize that Paul was another example of someone being raptured. And that's kind of a nice thought, but I don't think that there's any evidence for that. Whereas we have evidence written by church fathers that we take with great credibility that he was, in fact, martyred. And it's believed that all the apostles were martyred, with the exception of John. And tradition has it that they tried to martyr John, but was unable to kill him. They tried to boil him and was unable to. And then, of course, we know he was exiled at the island of Patmos, where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, and also, we also have Jesus making comments that John would not be martyred, right? And then you have Peter like, well, what about him? And, you know, so that's typically what happened. But I kind of agree with this guy's analysis that Paul was pretty, he was hinting that he believed anyway that he was, that his death was imminent. And I think Paul, when you read the writings, he was so willing and willing to suffer for the cause of the kingdom of Christ and to suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There'd be no surprise that he wouldn't run up to be martyred. What amazing faith. And sometimes I think we don't give Paul enough credit. You know, you have some people who don't give him enough credit. I mean, he is responsible, really, through the anointing of God and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the Gentile church really moving forward, being born. And he sacrificed his whole life. And that's why, it's one of the main reasons that we have what we have today. And we've got, you know, he makes up a large portion of the New Testament, his writings do. And then on the other hand, you have people who only look at Paul, and which is kind of going in the wrong direction also. And so I try to take a happy medium here on this podcast. Well, that is the show for today. I feel kind of like I rambled a little too much, but I wanted to give you guys just some ideas on what likely happened to Paul based on, not based on emotion or on what I want it to be, but based on what actual, scripture and manuscript evidence has to say about the issue. Well, there you have it, my friends. That is the book of Acts, and I'm looking forward to starting something new, maybe next week. I think I'd like to read the stories of David, so I think I kind of want to go read 1 and 2 Samuel, and then maybe 1 and 2 Kings, which would probably take us the whole 2020 to do. So that's what I'm kind of thinking about moving towards for our Wednesday study. You know, biblical history is just something that I'm passionate about, and the ancient world, and just I love all that stuff. And I personally have never taken the time to study those books, 1st and 2nd Samuel and 1st and 2nd Kings. I've never really sat down and spent the time and did a thorough study on it. So I think that's what I'm leaning towards. So that's the plan anyway. We'll see what happens. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll resume our study in the book of Enoch, which is a crowd favorite right now. And so make sure you tune in for that. And real quick, before I wrap it up, please consider supporting the podcast. The Patreon support has actually been on a decline, and it still is declining month over month. So I appreciate your support. It helps me and my family, but it also helps make this happen, and it pays for equipment and hosting and all those things. So please consider that if you're willing and able. And of course, your prayers are much coveted. All right. Enough rambling for one day. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until the next time, God bless.